Welcome to the Sunday morning teaching from Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. We're so glad you've joined us today and welcome you to visit in person and worship with us. Find out more about us at buckeyecc.org. Now enjoy this week's message.
Well, good morning, everyone. I pray that everyone's had a blessed week. My name is John Thomason. I'm the lead minister here at Buckeye Christian Church. But we are now on our sixth commandment in our series, all about God's Ten Commandments. Last week, we got a little switch in the commandments. So the first four commandments that God gave us is all about the relationship that we are to have with God and what He is wanting from us. And when it comes to Him, how we should be acting, reacting, and being in this life. Last week, we started of the commandments of how we are to treat one another here on earth. And it started out with honor your mother and father. We looked at how we are to respect and value our parents, no matter who they are or what they have done. Our parents are imperfect people in this imperfect world, just like we are. And God is commanding us to show our parents the respect that they deserve. We also looked at how respecting our parents is a reflection of how we are to respect and honor God. He is our perfect Father. Anyone who says, yes, I am a follower of Christ, you are adopted into God's family, and He calls you His child, and then He is your perfect Father. Now, this week, we're going to do the next commandment that God has given us. It's nice and short. Exodus 20:13. It says, you shall not murder. You got it? Don't kill people. Great. I'll see you all next week. We'll talk about the Ten Commandments. No. Just kidding. But seriously, I don't think any of us need to be told that murder is wrong. There's a lot that goes into that that we have to flush out because we know, do not murder. Okay, I'll try my best this week. I won't kill anyone. But God is talking about so much more here. Because depending on actually the version that you're reading in the Bible, some actually see do not kill. You shall not kill instead of you shall not murder. And when you look at that word alone, it makes it different. And we have to understand the wording and intent on why we were given this command. And the first thing we need to look at is the word itself. One thing about the Hebrew language and also the Greek language is that there are many different words to describe the level or the feeling that goes with that word. It's kind of like the word love. There's a whole bunch of different kinds of love in the Greek because you can say, I love burritos. And we'd be like, oh, we understand what you're saying. But the love you have for burritos is not the same love that you have for your mom. Okay, it's not the same thing. So it's a different word. Some people are going, it kind of is. That's not a good thing. And then you have the love for God. Your love for God is different as well than your love for your mother or burrito. So we have to understand that the word that they use can have different meanings. And there are over half a dozen different words in the Hebrew that talk about taking a life. The word that was used here in this part of Exodus and other places of the Old Testament is the word murder, meaning unjustified. Meaning deliberate homicide. Because there's another word actually for accidental homicide or neglectful homicide. But to understand what God is asking here in its original language, we have to understand God is saying, do not murder. And we know that kill and murder are not one and the same because there are many instances where God's people, the Israelites, they were told to kill people in battle. They were told to kill those who were leading others away from God in the Old Testament. And that's because the cost of our sin is death. Those things that you do wrong against God, there's a penalty for it. And that penalty meant death itself. And in the Old Testament, we read time and time again that when this was to happen, God said, I want you to take those people out. I want you to make sure they're not in this land. I want to make sure they're not leading you astray. And now that we know there's a difference between kill and murder, we need to understand what God was saying when He commanded us to not murder. So we're going to go ahead and turn all the way back to the beginning. We're going to be at Genesis 4. 1 through 16, Genesis 4, 1 through 16, it says, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So this is the beginning. This is right after Adam and Eve were sent out of the garden because of their sin. We see that Adam and Eve, they have a couple of sons, and their names are Cain and Abel. Abel's job was to take care of the animals, and Cain's job was to take care of the crops, the fruits and vegetables. Now, God had told his people that they needed to make sacrifices to God. It was to show their obedience and their love to God, to show that they still love him and that they want to follow God, even though that they are no longer in the Garden of Eden. We see that Cain brought some of his harvest from the soil to offer to God. And then Abel, he took some fat portions from the best of the best of his flock to give as an offering to God. It says that God was pleased with Abel and that he showed favor to Abel. But Cain's offering was not. There was no favor there. Now, there are not a lot of extra details of what God asked for them and from them as their offerings. And we're not sure why God was not as pleased with this offering of crops or fruits and vegetables. And I want to let you know right now that this is not an argument that we should be eating more steak and less vegetables because God will find favor. That's not what that means. But the one thing we do get to see about the difference in Cain and Abel's offerings is their hearts. So God talks to Cain after he has no favor, and he knows that Cain is angry. And God actually talks to Cain and he asks him, why are you angry? Why are you mad? God knows it is because God showed favor to his brother, and that is why God is saying to him, I understand you're upset. I understand that you're not happy with what's going on here, but if you do what is right, if you are doing the things that I ask you to do, you will be accepted. You will be found and loved. When you follow me and do as I command, there's also something else that happens. It says you will avoid sin. Because guess what? The sin is right there. It's right there in your heart. It's crouching at the door. God knows that Cain is very angry in his heart. And that's why he tells him, be careful. Your sin is right there. Do not give in to that sin in your heart. But we get to know what Cain does next. And obviously, Cain decided to go with his sin over following God. Cain then takes his brother out to the field and he kills Abel. But then verse 9, it again shows us the true problem. It wasn't just the fact that he murdered Cain. Yes, that was wrong. But God asked Cain, where is your brother? Come on, God knows. It's not like he's like, huh, I feel misinformed. Where'd your brother go? I have no clue. No, God knows what has happened. God knows what Cain has done. And when God confronts Cain, what does Cain do? He lies to God. But he doesn't just lie to God. He says, I don't know. But then he gets snarky with God. What am I, my brother's keeper? Oh, are you kidding me? Like, I try to think about if I were to say that to my parents, be like, I don't know, my sister's keeper. Oh, the wrath. And I understand it, because that's just not the way that you should be treating somebody in authority, let alone God. But the thing is, Cain is so comfortable with God that he went out there, he killed his brother. He then lies to the Almighty about it. And we get to see Cain's heart here. His heart was hard. It was not just the murder itself that's the problem. It's the hate and the anger that was burning inside of Cain. And so God says to Cain, I know what you've done. And God says, guess what? Because of what you've done, you're now cursed. You work the fields. You're trying to get crops. You will no longer have crops that come from your work. And then God says, also, this is more important, but you can no longer live here. You can no longer be in my presence. You have to leave this family and community. And Cain thinks that being sent away to wander the earth, that this is worse than death. And he asks for mercy. And we get to see that God is a good God. God gives Cain, this murderer, mercy. And he puts a mark on Cain so all will know that he is not to be touched or killed. Now, some of us have heard this story before, and we take the story kind of lightly. And we go, yes, Cain killed Abel. He murdered. That's bad. Murder's bad. Yes, murder is bad. That's 100% agreeable. But it's so much more than just the act that he committed here. What happened was Cain turned his heart away from God, all because he wanted to hate his brother. And Jesus talks all about what this actually looks like in Matthew 5, 21 through 24. Matthew 5, 21 through 24. And this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus was explaining the law in a different way for us to understand, because we've made everything so legalistic and literal. And by doing that, we miss the point of what God is trying to tell us here. So we're going to go ahead and read Matthew 5, 21 through 24. It says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fires of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. So Jesus starts out with exactly what I said about us missing the point in the story of Cain and Abel. He says, you have heard, do not murder. And this is because the Pharisees at the time, the men who were supposed to be holy people, they would say, I have never taken a life. I have never murdered. I am keeping all the commandments of God. But their hearts were hard to God, and they were hard to the people. They were not listening to God. They were only listening to their own wants and desires, and they were not helping the people. They were harming them. And this is why Jesus says, but anyone who is angry with their brother or sister, you are subject to the same judgment as a murderer. And it says, if you say the words raca, or this means to call them stupid or inferior, this was a strong word to show that your anger and dislike for this person, this is what you would call them. He says, you will also be held to the judgment of a murderer. It's interesting because language around the world is very different. One thing that was very interesting to me, when we went down to Mexico, it came up about the word stupid. So the word stupid can mean a lot. And so we were down in Mexico and someone called someone else stupid and there was an audible gasp, like, and I was sitting there, I'm like, oh, what happened? And they were saying, how could you say such a thing? And I can't believe that this is happening. We don't use these words. And I proceeded to ask, I don't understand, what's the problem? And they said, this is a big insult. You cannot use that word even as a joke. And as the conversation went further and further, they were using words and slurs that were acceptable there, that were okay to joke about, that would not be okay here. And I thought to myself, this is so strange. Because when you get in a heated argument with someone in America, I have heard some crazy things that have been said. I have heard some horrible words that were used. I'm not going to say them because that's not what we're here for. But I think if someone looked at me that was just furious and you could tell that the anger was burning inside them and they said to me, yeah, well, you're stupid. I'd be waiting like, oh, that's it? Oh, you feel like you almost got away with something. Like, that's all you're going to say to me. But the truth is, it's not about the word itself. It's about what's happening in the heart. It's about how you feel about that person. Different cultures have different words that hold a strong meaning, but it's all about the heart, and that's something that's universal. Now, most of us can say, nah, I've never taken another human life. But the way Jesus is spelling it out, I believe this includes a lot more of us. You may be saying now, okay, well, maybe I am under the judgment of being a murderer. And I want you to know that fighting amongst people, this is not new. We just read about the first murder, and it's never stopped since. And Jesus here is telling us, it's all about how you feel towards other people. So we're going to go down this road. So I want you to prepare yourself now because it may get a little uncomfortable. But that person who cuts you off in traffic, your anger should not burn against them. That person who was on... Okay. That person who is on the other political side of you, your anger should not burn against them. That person who hurts your feelings with the things that they've said, your anger should not burn against them. It is so easy to be angry and write off people whom we believe do not deserve our time and our love. Because we're saying, you know what, because of your actions, because of what you are doing, you don't get my love. You don't get my time. You withhold these things from this person. But I want you to know those first three I listed off, those are the easy ones. But here's a couple more. That person who has mistreated you and keeps mistreating you, you should not have anger that burns against them. That person who has stolen from you, that person who beats you, that person who hurts you, the person who hurts your family, the person who hurts animals and pets, the person that abuses children, the person that abuses the elderly, that person that's a murderer, your anger is not supposed to burn against them. And it's so hard because some of these things, they are horrible things. They are horrible sins. But God tells us that we are supposed to love them in spite of their sins. This is why verse 23 and 24 matter. Jesus says that if you have anger and you're fighting amongst someone else, leave that gift that you have for God. And it says, go make peace with them. That does not mean that they will want to make peace with you. But the truth is, you have to make your heart clear. Your heart needs to be focused on God and God alone. And Paul talks about this in Romans 12. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Romans 12, 17 through 21. Paul's going to give us a reminder on what we should be doing when we are following God and others are hurting us. Romans 12, 17 through 21 says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." We have to know through these verses, it's very clear that God has got this. Live at peace with everyone. Do not give in to your anger. Instead, give it to God. God will take care of anything that anyone has done in this world. All we are to do is to overcome evil with good, not to do the same things that they are doing. All that anger in your heart, all that hate that you have is there. I'm going to let you know, it's not good. When we give room for anger and hate in our hearts, we're not allowing God in our hearts. The only thing that happens when we have anger and hate for others is that we are far from God. I remember reading these verses to somebody and they said to me, "Yeah, but they need to get what's coming to them and it's not fair that they're getting away with this or that they're being treated kindly. I don't understand why that's going to work that way." And I asked, "Do you really believe anything that you can say or do will be more than what God's going to do?" That's just silly. God is the great judge. He is good. He is powerful. He is all-knowing. And we know that he will take care of it. All we have to do is overcome evil by doing good, by following him. And this is said very clearly in 1 John 4:19 through 21. So we're going to turn to 1 John 4:19 through 21. I had it and lost it. Such a short book. I got it. Thank you. I should just do that, shouldn't I? 1 John 4:19 through 21, it says, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates a brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." You cannot love God and have hate in your heart for your brother or sister at the same time. Either sin, hate, and anger is filling you up, or it's God. When God told us in the commandment that you shall not murder, this is what God is calling you to do, to love people, to love them in their brokenness, to love them in their sin. And as I said last week, that's because how we love each other is a reflection of how we love God. I want you to know it's not that we are to love their sin. It's not that we are to accept their sin and say, "It's okay, you're allowed to do these things." No, the sin is not what we're loving. We're loving the person. And when we are loving people and not hating them, that's when we are following God. I want you to know that this sermon, this commandment, is not about condemning you. This is all about convicting you. This is something that's been coming up a lot lately in a lot of the conversations that I'm having with people. So what is the difference between feeling condemned and feeling convicted? We know that Jesus did not come to condemn us. God's word and Jesus' teachings are not here to beat us down, to guilt us, and to throw us into the pit. No, God came to lift us up, save us from the pit, to free us and make us new through him. God wants to convict us. He wants to put it on your heart and your mind that something needs to change. And when you feel convicted, it is God saying, I want better for you and from you. I want you to stop these things that are hurting you, and I want you to start doing these good things that will help you draw closer to me. I remember a few people in my life that I had that anger in my heart for at one point. Friends that said that they care for me. I spent all my time with them. They said they would always be there for me. And then they would turn around and tell lies to make me look bad. People have tried to sabotage my career and tried to sabotage my relationships. And it's because the sad truth is there are people out there who want to hurt you. And it was interesting because I sat down and I started really thinking this through. And I asked my wife, I said, are there people in this moment that I'm really holding like anger and hate? And because I want to use this if this is there. And I said, it's weird. I can't think of anybody. And we sat for a little while and she said, surprisingly, no. At the moment, I really don't have anyone. But I'm going to tell you, I had very long stints in my life where I held on to that anger towards people. And God doesn't want that for you. I'm going to tell you, it is freeing to let that go and say, yes, you've hurt me. Yes, you've hurt people that I love. But you know what? God has forgiven me for what I've done. I'm going to forgive you. And with that in mind, I want to give you the challenge for this week. And this challenge for this week, it's twofold. So if you have someone in your heart that you're angry with, time to let it go. Whether it's an old hurt or a new one, do not allow that anger to have space in you. Go to God. Ask God to help you to forgive them, help you to love them, help you to love God more by loving them. And then the second part is when something happens next, and I'm telling you, something else will happen next. Somebody will hurt you. I want you to not allow that anger to have a place in your heart. When you feel that anger for someone in you is rising, I want you to ask God, pray to God, fill that space to give you peace for you to be able to move on from that hurt. When God commanded us and said, you shall not murder, he meant this as well, in your heart. Obviously, we should not go out and physically murder people, but we are supposed to have love for those people who are sinning and sinful and lost.
We trust you have been challenged and encouraged by today's message from lead minister John Thomason at Buckeye Christian Church in Grove City. For service times, to hear today's message again, or for other questions you might have, we invite you to visit our website at buckeyecc.org. We look forward to meeting you soon.